If you have your Bibles, you can take them out to the book of Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 16. This morning is a standalone sermon, and then next week we're going to launch into our Advent series, and I'm excited to get into that. But we're in Acts chapter 16. If you have a Bible, you can pull it out, or an app, or whatever you're using. Or if you don't have anything, you can just listen in as we read verses 25 through 34. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he threw his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them at that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Let's bow our heads and pray as we seek the Lord to study his word together. God, you are good. And we worship you that you are good and excellent in all your ways. Lord, we praise you for your perfections. Lord, though we do not always understand your ways are higher than ours. God, we praise you that you are good. And we praise you, Lord, that you're working for your glory and our eternal good through all of life's circumstance. So, Lord, I pray that in our hearts and minds today, Jesus, that you would be exalted, that you would be praised, that your Holy Spirit would come and move in our midst to transform us and to change us and to make us more and more like Jesus. We pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've shared with some of you a little bit about my experience living in Kentucky, about the southern hospitality that I received down there when I was going to seminary. And I attended this small little church. It was a non-denominational church. And before and after service, if I would ask people how they were doing, if they weren't doing so well, I would hear the common phrase, "Well, I'm living on the mountaintop, but I'm not always home." And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting way of saying things. In other words, they're saying I'm not doing great at all, but I'm supposedly living on the mountaintop. It's a spiritualized version of, hey, I'm not doing too great. And over the years, I've seen that we as Christians use phrases like this. It might not be that particular one, but we use phrases like, well, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and that is indeed true. But oftentimes in our phrases, we mask how we're really doing inside. We realize, yes, God is good. We realize that God is sovereign. He's faithful. He's just. But inside, we're struggling. Inside, we're torn up by a circumstance that is really troubling us. And let's be frank. All of us have bad days and bad weeks and maybe even bad years. And it's time that we learn what it means to recover a thankful spirit. Yes, God is indeed good, but a lot of us, if we're honest, would say, well, I didn't really spend a whole lot of time this week thinking about God's goodness despite my circumstances. So we all have those times in our lives where we're not doing well, where circumstances are bad, and we struggle just to make it through the day and to find a way to praise God because we don't really feel like doing it. So the big question I want to ask us this morning is, how do we thank God during those difficult times? How do we praise God when we don't feel like it? when praising God actually is a struggle, when we're having a hard time bringing the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, what David says. So today I want to talk about the importance of recovering this thankful spirit. And I've used the story here in Acts chapter 16 to kind of give us a framework, or at least a backdrop, of how we might discover how we can praise God when we're going through those difficult times. Now, just to give you a little bit of a context here to what we had just read, because we jumped sort of in the middle of the passage here. Paul was on his second missionary journey with Silas, and they were traveling throughout Greece, and as they preached, a young woman who was a fortune teller kept pestering them. And finally, Paul, having the discernment of the Holy Spirit, recognized that this was an evil spirit working and speaking through her. He rebuked that evil spirit, and the demons left her. And so obviously the owner of the fortune teller, who was making money off of her, was upset with Paul and Silas for doing this thing. And so he charged them with public disturbance and advocating non-Roman customs, is what it was technically mentioned here. And so Paul and Silas are thrown into jail, and they're dragged, they're put on trial, they're falsely accused, they're overwhelmed by mob rule, they're stripped naked, they're beaten harshly, and they're imprisoned in this maximum security cell. So hardly a circumstance that you would feel like praising God in. But they were doing this, interestingly enough, just for serving God, just for setting this woman free who was the fortune teller that was harassed by demons. You could say that they were living on the mountaintop, but not home. They were going through a tough circumstance. And it's interesting, in verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So think of it, and just picture it in your mind. These guys, after being falsely charged, they're shut up in a cell there in prison. Their feet were fastened in the stocks, and look what they're doing. They're praising and singing songs of worship to God. And these guys are in the darkest dungeon, but they're still finding a way to praise God despite their circumstance. They couldn't move physically, but they could at least be thankful in their hearts. And I actually find this quite remarkable, because they turned their cell into a sanctuary. They turned their prison into a place where they could praise God. And this is for some of us, maybe even here today, you need to turn your prison and turn it into praise. You need to take your cell of your circumstance where you feel like you're shut in and closed in by the circumstance that you're facing, and turning your situation and in your heart and mind, making a sanctuary of praise to God. And of course, we read the rest of the story. I'm not going to highlight all the things that went on after this. Of course, we see in verse 26, the earthquake happens, their shackles fall off, the prison doors swing wide open, the jailer is afraid for his life, because under Roman law, if the prisoners would escape, the jailer would face death himself, and he would take the rap for it. So Paul encourages, recognizing the jailer's own condition, he encourages the prisoners to stay, and the jailer and all of his household come to Christ after they hear the words that Paul and Silas share. And it's a remarkable story to see God's deliverance despite their circumstance. But it's interesting, in verse 25, once again, before all this miraculous deliverance took place, they are still finding ways to praise God. Why would they be praising God then? I mean, obviously, God was still good, despite all the terrible conditions that they were in. But I love what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Listen to what he says here. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." You understand what Peter is saying here is, look, if you're following Jesus and you're obeying what he's commanded in his word, if you're suffering despite the circumstance, maybe because people are hurling insults for you, or just because you're dealing with a situation that had something that was completely out of your control, you're fine. This is something God wants you to delight in as you praise him. But if you're suffering because you did something wrong, you stole something or you murdered somebody, there's no way you're glorifying God in that situation. So Paul or Peter's making a distinction here in the reason why people suffer. But if you're doing the right thing and you're honoring Jesus, we are glorifying God. And Peter's point is, if we're obeying Jesus, we can rejoice and glory in his name. And despite all the pain that we go through in life, and we all go through it, none of us are exempt from problems and trials and pain. And some of us maybe find ourselves this morning in the middle of it. I want to just remind you and remind all of us that Jesus still reigns. Jesus still reigns, even in our pain, even in our struggles. Though we suffer, we have to recognize that our suffering is only temporary. That we one day will get to spend eternity, if our faith is in Jesus Christ, with God in heaven, and we will rejoice forever, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes. And in his presence, there will be fullness of joy. But now we go through troubles. Now we go through challenges because we live in a fallen world as a result of sin. But one day, his glory will be revealed. So Paul and Silas, as they're worshiping God, and notice that there's people listening in. It mentions there that everybody was listening in. Don't be surprised that if you're in a situation right now where you feel shackled or people know that you're going through some pain, if you can find a way to praise God, that is a testimony to other people. Because naturally, people do not praise God or find joy in difficult circumstances. But when the Holy Spirit does his work in our hearts and minds and illuminates our hearts and minds to see the reality of God's perfections, we can praise God in the middle of the pain. And it causes most people, particularly unbelievers, to wonder, how and why are they doing that? That just doesn't make sense to me. And Paul and Silas knew that while we might be locked in, we can't lock God out. And they worship God. You know, I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us for the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can we get a hearty amen to that? Amen. Nothing. So whatever circumstances that we're going through, we must recognize that God is on his throne. And we must rest secure in understanding that God is taking care of me and he will watch over every one of the situations. And though we may not be able to change our circumstances, we can rest in the arms of a loving God. We can find grace in those times of need. So how can we thank God when we're going through times of trouble, when we go to suffer? I mean, obviously, we have this week of Thanksgiving. We're praising God tonight. We're gearing up. A lot of us are gathering as family or friends or individuals, and we're gathering to have great food and maybe watch some football or go shopping, whatever you do. Frankly, I don't know why people go shopping on Black Friday. I'm not a shopper. Amen, amen. I got my amen corner over here. But, you know, there's several things we have to be reminded of this morning when it comes to praising God. If you're in a difficult circumstance right now and you just don't feel like praising God, here's three things I want to just encourage you with today. Number one, God's word must take priority over your feelings. God's word must take priority over your feelings. And this is very hard for all of us because, you know, we deal with circumstances that send us into the tank emotionally a lot of times. But we have to remember that though we have feelings that are up and down every day, we have to remind ourselves that God is still on his throne. You know, when I was first in college back in the mid-1990s, my cousin and I actually lived with my grandparents, and we played this game called Rook. I don't know if any of you played this game, but it's one of those things, you know, you have different colors, and you have trump that you have to play, and if you have red or black or whatever you have, you can play the trump card, and it helps bring in the set. And it's interesting that when you think about playing that trump card, the one that's going to beat all the other cards, it's kind of like when we worship God, whatever life throws at us, we have the trump card, which is God's word. We have God's word that we can play in the middle of our circumstance, say, you know what, God, despite how I feel, despite what I see around me, I have your word, and that trumps my feeling. That can help me go through this circumstance. Even though I cry and the tears are there, even though things are challenging and I'm frustrated and I'm just, you know, things at work are driving me crazy, I can praise God because I have his word, and his word does not change. Amen? You know, feelings come, feelings go, circumstances come and they go, but God's word, because God himself does not change. And because of that truth, we have a rock that we can stand secure on in Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh. And so no matter what life throws at us, we can play the trump card, which is God's Word. And we can find a way to praise God that even though we don't feel like it, we can hold on to God's promises because His Word remains true and nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is something that we have to remind ourselves, particularly when we're going through difficult times. Feelings come and go, but God's word is eternal. It always remains rain or shine. You know, it's kind of like the sunshine. You know, a lot of days around here in Colorado, you see it. But when the clouds are out, you know that the sun is out. You just can't see it. And sometimes when we go through cloudy days, we have to remember that the sun still reigns. Jesus still reigns. So number one, God's word must take priority over our feelings. Number two, we have to remember that praise, particularly the praise that honors God, is sacrificial. Praise is a sacrifice. It costs us something. And, you know, David said, I will not come into the Lord with my hands that are empty. Basically, I'm paraphrasing that. But he's saying, you know, I won't bring you a worship that costs me nothing. I won't bring a sacrifice that way. Praise involves sacrifice. In the Old Testament, anytime a person will go to the tabernacle there or the temple, the law required that sacrifices were to be made. In fact, this was actually quite a bloody scene, as there were the blood of animals, goats and rams and lambs and all these animals, and they presented them as burnt offerings before the Lord. Listen to what David the psalmist said. He says in Psalm 66:13, I will come into your house with burnt offerings, and I will perform my vows to you. He says in Psalm 96:8, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I love what he says in Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The point is that worship always involves an element of sacrifice. You know, there are a lot of different laws that govern this world, natural laws. You think about the law of gravity and all different types of laws of motion. I believe that there's a certain law when it comes to God manifesting himself among his people. The law of manifestation requires a sacrifice. That requires that there be a sacrifice of praise before God. That God will not show up among his people unless there's a sacrifice. Now, we ultimately know that Jesus is the sacrifice that was made. In fact, the book of Hebrews makes it very clear that Jesus is the eternal sacrifice before God. Yet we also see throughout Scripture this really clear evidence that we as Christians must not come empty-handed when we worship. You know, a lot of times we come and we sing before the Lord on Sunday mornings and we gather. But friends, I want to just challenge you. In what way has praising God become a sacrifice to you? What are you offering to God this morning? Because if it's just singing a song or just saying, okay, you know, the sound sounds pretty good today, or, you know, the coffee's good today. Listen, Praise is more than that. It's your heart. And what are you bringing before God today? Are you bringing a lot of pain? And, you know, there's a song called Broken Hallelujahs. Boy, it's hard to get out of hallelujah today. Whatever you're going through, find a way to praise God, to thank Him for His goodness and grace in your lives, to come and to bring a sacrifice of praise before Him. And too many of us try to get something out of worship without putting anything into it. Let me say that again. Too many of us try to get something from worship without putting anything into it. What God wants from our hearts is people that are willing to offer ourselves before Him, to offer the sacrifice of praise in the midst of our pain, in the middle of it. It may be expressed in any number of ways. It may be just a tear that runs down the side of our cheek, but in that tear is worship before God to say, God, you know what I'm going through, and I praise you. And even though I don't feel like it today, even though I don't feel like celebrating, I can still worship you because you're on your throne, and this world is the only hell I'll ever have to know. You know, what can we offer God if Jesus has already paid for it all? If Jesus has been the eternal sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, well, I want to say this, we can offer ourselves. You know, we don't have much to offer God when it comes to, you know, when it comes to physical things and material. God owns the cattle, the scripture says, on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. But what God wants from us is ourselves. He wants from us our attention. So many of us have spent so much time this week thinking about so many other things other than God. Could it be that God wants to get our attention even this morning? To say, what are you thinking about me? Are you thinking about the grace I gave you when you went through that? Are you thinking about the way I provided for you when you weren't sure how you were going to make it? Are you going to thank me for the time I healed you or I gave you the grace when you were going through that difficulty physically? We need to pay attention. A lot of worship is noticing. Noticing God and noticing how He is providentially working in our lives. And though we may not understand everything, we see through a glass dimly is what Scripture makes clear, we can still find ways to praise God. But we can offer and we must offer ourselves. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what the will of God is. Some of you today perhaps are trying to seek God for wisdom, to discern His will in a circumstance. You want to know one of the first ways you can discern that? Present your body to God. Present yourself to Him because of that. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will give you discernment to be able to test what is right and what is good. Present your body to Him. Present your life to Him. Young people, I'm going to just challenge you to really commit at a young age to follow Jesus. Never take your body any place you wouldn't take Jesus. Offer your body, offer your heart, your mind. Some of us need to offer our minds back to God because we're paying attention to too many crazy things. And we go down rabbit trails in our minds, focusing on things that are secondary or things that are downright sinful. We need to present our bodies and our minds to God and say, God, would you reinstill in me, my heart and mind, a desire to notice you and to pay attention to your work in my life. Help me, Lord, to live a holy life that is obedient to your word. How do we do this? Well, it makes it very clear here in this passage. Don't live like the world. Be willing to swim upstream. If everybody else is doing it, it's probably a good indication that you should be doing it. Discern what God's will is and do it. And frankly, when it comes to worship, I don't want us just to simply think of worship as singing, because worship involves every and encompasses every facet of our lives. that as we discern God's will, as we're obedient to the path that he has chosen for us, that is an act of worship in itself. That we praise God in the way we live and the way we conduct ourselves in a way that honors him in righteousness. David, the psalmist, said, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord or the place of God's dwelling except he who has clean hands and a pure heart?" Some of us need to get our hearts right with God and say, "God, purify my heart. Cleanse me of unrighteousness. Cleanse me of stinking thinking because I've not been doing the things that have been honoring you." And as we do this, and as we renew our mind through God's word, he begins to transform us. And as that begins to happen, we find a place and a way to praise God no matter what. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, Clay House, true sacrificial worship comes from a life that loves God and loves people. And if worship, and if our worship and thanksgiving is to be acceptable to God, it must spring forth from a life that is surrendered to loving God and people. Worship costs us something. You know, oftentimes I think when people come, people kind of get used to the church scene. They come to church and they kind of mentally say, "Oh, worship was on today or was off." Suppose God's doing that with you every Sunday. Is your worship on or is it off? Worship is not a performance. Worship is a sacrifice in all of us. Worship is a desire to praise God and thank him that just bubbles out and flows forth from a recognition that, "God, you have been so good to me. You've given me more than I ever deserved. And I praise you for it." Don't come empty-handed, saints. Whether on Sundays or any day, you go about your business each day. Because worship is more than a song. It's an obedient life. The third thing I want us to help us to remember, if we're going to find ourselves in a place where, even today, where we're going through challenges and we're trying to recover this spirit of thanksgiving, the third thing we have to remember is that praise is a choice. Praise is a choice. You know, Paul and Silas, as they're in this prison cell, they had a choice to make. What were they going to do? Yes, they could have complained about how they were unjustly treated by the people around them. They could have spent the whole night talking about the court system that was rigged against them. They could have complained the whole evening about how painful it was for them to be in the middle of shackles and not being able to move. They could have complained about their problems. Or they could have gone to sleep. They could try to sleep off their pain. Find a way of being distracted. I think for some of us, particularly when we go through challenges, maybe we aren't complaining, maybe we are, but some of us are trying to distract ourselves with other things. Yes, hobbies are fun to do and nice to do. I enjoy doing them myself, but it becomes a problem when it distracts us from finding a place of praising God. Now, we can praise God in the hobbies that we do, but be careful that what we are doing in our lives is not purposely setting up distractions that keep us from focusing on Jesus, not numbing our pain. You know, Jesus, as he was on the cross, and they were getting ready to give him on a stick this vinegar and this bitter drink to try to numb the pain that he was on. Notice that he turned his face and he rejected that sponge. And oftentimes, I think the devil in our lives tries to offer us that sponge of bitterness or that thing to try to numb the pain. And for some of us, we might be on that cross ourselves in a different sense of going through a tough circumstance, and we want to numb ourselves to the pain, and it's very tempting to take that. But like Jesus, we must recognize that sometimes we have to go through things. And though we're tempted to numb it by other things, we have to embrace our cross and feel it. And that's hard. Nobody said it would be easy. But what we see in Scripture after Jesus died He rose 3 days later. Amen. The only prerequisite for resurrection is death. And so what I would say is this. If you're hanging on a cross right now in your circumstances, hurry up and die. Surrender to it. Rather than numbing it out, saying, Lord, I embrace it. But don't be surprised if there is a resurrection in your heart or even in your circumstance as you learn to praise God even in the middle of pain. You have a choice to make. Maybe you're in solitary confinement here this morning. Not in a physical prison as Paul and Silas were in a prison cell. Maybe it's in a circumstance that you can't change. Maybe it's in a situation where you don't feel appreciated. You feel overlooked or you feel lonely. You have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. I can complain about the problem. I can spend all day and all night talking to everybody about all these problems. And there's nothing wrong in confiding in others. But if we never get to a place where there's complete surrender to the will of God and dedication to His purposes, it ends up just getting us in a worse place. We can try distracting ourselves with other things, with other hobbies, with other assignments. We can sleep it off. Or you can decide, and I can decide, I will praise God no matter what happens. I will praise God. I will thank God. Even though I don't feel like it, even though I'm in pain, even though I'm going through these challenges, I will trust God. You know, I love the story in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were worshipers of God, if you remember the story. And they chose not to bow down to the golden image that was required by law in their land. And the king was going to throw them into a fiery furnace. And he said, will you bow down now? And I love what they say in verse 16 of Daniel 3. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up. I love that response. We believe that God is able to deliver. We believe that God is a miracle-working God. But if not, we still are going to praise Him. If not, we're still going to keep trusting Him. If not, we're going to still keep being dependent on His Word. I love that, but if not faith. A faith that says, you know, I'm going to keep moving forward and I'm going to keep trusting God, even in the pain, even in the struggles. Whether we live or die, either way, we're still going to find a way to praise God. Some of us need to make that choice here today. Whatever circumstance you're going through, today I choose to praise God in the middle of this. And you know, that makes the devil nervous. Because if the devil's doing everything, he's doing everything he can to try to keep you and me from praising God. In fact, really, the battle comes down to praise. Because when we begin to praise God in the middle of our pain, in the middle of our difficulties, the devil gets nervous because he set everything up and he tried to attack us and do everything, a full-out frontal attack to keep us from praising God. But you know, praising God not only honors God, but it ticks the devil off. So I want to just challenge you as you go throughout this week, spend this week ticking the devil off. Praise God. Worship Him. Honor Him and thank Him for the good things He's done. And you know, maybe things are going great. Maybe you're flying as high as a kite this morning. Praise Him in the middle of that too. But whatever circumstance we find ourselves, praise God. You know, we need that but if not kind of faith. Silas and Paul made the choice to praise God no matter what. The question is, will you? Will I choose to praise God? Not just when things are going well, but more particularly when things are not. You know, Robert McQuilkin was the former president of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. And he wrote the following testimony. I'm going to read this. He said, life was heavy upon me. My dearest friend and intimate companion, my delightful wife, Muriel, was slipping away, one painful loss at a time, as Alzheimer's disease ravaged her brain. Just as the full impact of what was happening to us hit home, the life of Bob, our oldest son, was snuffed out in a diving accident. 2 years later, to care for Mario, I left my life work at its peak. I was numb. Not bitter, let alone angry. Why should I be? That's the way life is. Life in a broken world. But the passion in my love for God had evaporated, leaving a residue of resignation where once had been a vibrant faith. I knew that I was in deep trouble, and I did the only thing I knew to do. I went away to a mountain hideaway for prayer and for fasting, and it took about 24 hours to shake free a preoccupation with my own wounds and to focus on the excellencies of God. And as I did, slowly love began to be rekindled, and with love came joy. And I wrote God a love letter naming 41 of his marvelous gifts to me, spotlighting 11 of his grandest acts in history, and exalting in 10 of his characteristics that exceeded my imagination. Surely he enjoyed my gratitude. Who doesn't appreciate that gratitude? But I discovered something else. Something happened in me. I call it the reflex action of thanksgiving. My love flamed up from the dying embers, and my spirit soared. I discovered that ingratitude impoverishes, but that a heavy heart lifts on the wings of praise. Friends, he's right. Is your heart heavy today? Let your heart be lifted on the wings of praise. And remember that God's word must be placed over your feelings and my feelings, and that praise is both a sacrifice and a choice. I'll finish with a quote from A.W. Tozier. He said that we are saved to worship God. All that Christ has done for us in the past and all that he is doing now leads us to this one end. We have a choice to make. You have a choice. I have a choice. I'm going to praise God. You think about Abraham as he's getting ready to sacrifice his son Isaac as they're climbing in the mountain. He leaves the servants behind at the base of the mountain. He says, you guys stay here. I'm going on up to worship. And some of us may need to do that in our lives. You know, you may be around coworkers, other family. You know, you can stay down here at the bottom of the mountain and argue about who's right and wrong. As for me, I'm going on up to worship. I'm going on up to praise. So this morning, we're going to close with the song, Blessed Be Your Name. And though maybe you find yourself here today riding on the mountaintop, or maybe you're on the mountaintop but not home, that we can bless the name of the Lord today. Find a way to make the choice and to sacrifice your praise to God. Let's stand to our feet and worship the Lord together.